Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy game day. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. It is Packers game day. Packers Panthers should be, fingers crossed, a fun one for Green Bay. Packers heavy favorites in this game. We'll break it all down, what to expect, what to look for, and what we're ultimately hoping for from this Packers team in this game. Full disclosure, I waited as long as I could. I'm at 2:12 p.m. on Saturday trying to wait to see what the elevations would be. I'm still going to keep an eye on my phone throughout the entirety of recording this. I'm hosting a party for my kids for Halloween, and I unfortunately had to record early, so I do not have the elevations and roster moves from Saturday, at least as I'm recording this right now. My guess is that there were some moves at linebacker. Maybe there weren't any. I'm going to have to wait and see. You guys probably already know what it is. I'd be looking at linebackers here. Is Jamin Johnson or Christian Welch elevated from the practice squad? Nick Neiman placed on IR. Do they make any of the moves with Lucas Haversick? Those are the things I'm going to be watching for. Again, you probably already know, and that probably potentially indicates whether or not Quay Walker is going to be playing in this one. But those are the things I'll be looking for. And again, you probably know them already. But remember that those, you know, call-ups on Saturday, whether they happen or don't happen, could indicate potentially whether or not Quay Walker is playing or not. Let's get to our Habish-Rotier injury report for this week. Injury report's pretty simple. LVN, Dontavian Wicks, and Nick Neiman are out for this game. Questionable, Brandon McManus and Quay Walker. McManus practiced the last 2 days in full, at least Friday and Thursday in full, I should say. And then he played last week. I'm expecting McManus to be available in this one. We'll see what Green Bay ultimately does at kicker, though. And then Quay Walker is the big player to keep an eye on in this game. With LVN being out, I would expect Aaron Mosby gets that activation. Again, that's more for special teams, but it does give them that fifth defensive end just in case. With Dontavian Wicks, not a huge issue. They still have plenty of wide receivers with Christian Watson coming back. Nick Neiman, again, I would expect some sort of linebacker move. Either Christian Welch, Jamin Johnson, maybe Aaron Mosby can fill that a little bit, but probably not. So again, keep an eye out for that if you have not already been aware of what call-ups happened on Saturday. The big note here from an injury standpoint is Quay Walker. Is he active or is he inactive? If he's active, then what you're going to want to keep an eye on is just how well he's playing. Does he look like he's moving fine? Does it look like the same Quay Walker, or is he, you know, I don't want to say a shell of himself, but does he just not look right? And then if he's not out there, my expectation would be Isaiah McDuffie, who I think has played some really good football so far this year, although I did think this was his worst game against Pittsburgh this past week. He's been good. He'd wear the green dot. He'd be the middle linebacker, the Mike. And then Edgerrin Cooper would stay in the same role that he's been in already. We'd see a lot more Isaiah McDuffie. And then Tyron Hopper would play the Isaiah McDuffie role as sort of the strong side linebacker. They're interchangeable, but you get my point. He'd be the third linebacker when they go in their 4-3 looks. I feel very comfortable with a McDuffie and Hopper and Cooper linebacking group. I don't think that's going to be a major issue, but McDuffie is a bit of a wild card. And to a lesser extent, Hopper is as well. This linebacker group has been really good all season long. You're now asking McDuffie to do a lot more. You're asking Hopper to do a little bit more. So there could be a little bit of an issue there. And against the Carolina team that's got a pretty good rushing attack, that could play a factor into this game. In an ideal world, Quay plays and he looks great and doesn't suffer any sort of setback or further injury, but they may want to be cautious with him. They got Philly coming up on Monday Night Football, probably feel like they can win this game either way. So that's going to be a big thing in this game, is whether or not Quay plays. If he does, how good he looks, and if not, can Hopper and McDuffie sort of fill in the gaps for the absence of Quay Walker in this game? I think they can, and I think they'll be fine. Depends on how many people they call up on Saturday, of what sort of inactives we're looking at. But we know Wicks, LVN, and Neiman, if he's still on the roster, will be inactive for this game. They'll deactivate one of the kickers and then two of the offensive linemen, likely Donovan Jennings and Jacob Monk, just like they did a week ago. As far as the Panthers go, Cade Mays and Princely Umanyelen are out for this game, I should say, from an injury report standpoint. Mays is the center. Umanyelen is a defensive end. Questionable. Andy Dalton, the quarterback, Damian Lewis, a guard, Taylor Moton, the offensive tackle, Nick Scott, the safety, Trevin Wallace, the linebacker, and Chandler Zavala, their guard. They are extremely beat up on the offensive line. A couple of these guys are probably going to play, but playing through some injuries, and they're going to be missing a couple of their starters as well. So keep an eye on which Panthers are active on the offensive line, which are inactive, and just how many starters they're ultimately missing. Their line being beat up could be a massive factor in this game. All right, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player to watch. I've got this one honed in this week. I'm keeping an extra eye on Xavier McKinney. Doesn't it just feel like he's a little bit overdue? Doesn't it just feel like it's time for a big Xavier McKinney play? I feel it coming in this game, whether it's an interception or a forced fumble, or maybe he's just all over the place and batting balls away. Whatever it is, just feels like we're due for a big Xavier McKinney moment in this game. Not sure how it happens or what it is, but I'm keeping an eye on him. And it feels like it's time. It feels like it's time for him to make a little bit more of a big impact on this season. We haven't seen that very much from him. He's playing fine. There's nothing that he's doing wrong, I would say. I think he's maybe pressing a little bit to try to make these plays. But for a player that was everywhere, seemingly all at once a season ago, constantly making plays, really from that stretch of the first half of the season where he made all those interceptions, from the second half till now, it's been a much quieter experience for Xavier McKinney. I think he's due. I think he's going to get a big play in this game, and that's why he is my Luigi's Pizza player to watch. Let's get to our keys for this game and everything that I am watching from beginning to end. 12 keys, as usual, same thing every single week. Number one, you guys ready? Number one, don't play down to your opponent. I think this is a little bit overblown in the scheme of what this team has played like this season, but it does feel, if we're being realistic, like they haven't played quite as well against the bad teams as they have against the good teams. And if they've played as well against Detroit, Washington, or, you know, like they did against Detroit, Washington, and Pittsburgh in the games against, you know, Cleveland and Dallas, and you know, it probably would have looked a lot better, right? Same thing with Cincinnati, Arizona, et cetera. You probably see a little bit more of a beatdown in those games, but they haven't. They've come out slow or sluggish or just haven't looked like themselves. And I would still argue Detroit's probably the closest, but I would still argue they haven't put together a full four-quarter game yet. I would love to see them do that in this game and play at the level that we know they're capable of and not play down to their competition. You're going to notice, we're going to go through a few of them today. I'm not focused a ton on X's and O's and matchups between the Packers and Panthers in this game. This is one that does truly feel a little bit more like Packers versus Packers than Packers versus Panthers. The Packers are better. They have more star players. They're more complete. They have more momentum. They are coming off a big win against the Pittsburgh Steelers this past week. They're at home. Just all of it. All of it feels like it's in favor of Green Bay. There is very few, if any, things that you look at and say, oh, Carolina's just better at doing this thing than Green Bay is. So go out and prove it. Show it and do not play down to your competition this week. Number two, I talked about this a couple times this week. I want to see how the Panthers bounce back from their 31-point loss at the hands of the Buffalo Bills a week ago. So far this season, when teams have lost by 30 or more points, it has been a pretty big wake-up call for them. In fact, it's happened 6 times where they've lost by 30-plus points and then played the following week. And the 6 times, the teams are 3-3 the following week after losing by 30 or more. So it's a 500 record. It's a coin flip at this point. Maybe more impressively than that is the point differential. You know, they lost by 30-plus. It improves by over 30 points the next week. So the margin of, you know, defeat, or just the margin, goes 30 points in favor of the team that lost by 30 or more points. So for example, if a team lost by 37 the week before, they only lost by 7 on average the next week. Or if they lost by 25, they now won by 5 points the following week. That's been the rule. It's not exact, right? But the average improvement is a 30-point improvement the next week after those 6 big losses so far this season. Only one time has there really been a game where the team got blown out by 30 plus and then kind of got blown out the next week again. So it's been a wake-up call for these teams when they've lost by 30. They've bounced back. And how Carolina does that in this game, or if they can find a way, that's going to be of interest as well. Because if they're fighting and frustrated and clawing back and saying, hey, we're still a 500 team, and we're going to go out and we're going to play, and we're going to erase that Buffalo Bills game, we're going to learn from our mistakes, and we're going to go into Green Bay and show them that we're not just a pushover, that this is not who we are, all right, then Green Bay better get ready for a fight. And they probably should, based on what we've seen so far. That 30-plus point loss has been a wake-up call for teams already. I'm hoping it's not this week, that Carolina has another bad loss this week, but be prepared. These teams have fought back, and I could easily see Carolina having that same mentality and trying to fight back after a very embarrassing loss last week against Buffalo. Number three, arguably to me, the biggest thing to kind of keep an eye on in this game in totality. And we could always go over turnovers and big plays, and sometimes we do, but you guys know those already. Those are always going to be big game-changing moments. But for me, it's the efficiency of the run games in this one. We've talked about this a lot. Green Bay has been bad on run offense. Carolina has been really bad on run defense. The Buffalo Bills ran the same toss concept 9 times against Carolina last week, and it went for over 90 yards and I think a couple touchdowns. Carolina couldn't stop it. Like, they could not stop it. I'm sure Green Bay is going to test that out, and I'm sure they're going to try similar things to try to get that run game going. And as Packers fans, you have to understand that, you know, go watch Mike Wall's video on the breakdown. There should be a plethora of opportunities to run the ball this week for Green Bay. But if they do, just know, like, that's why they're calling those plays. If you're frustrated on first down when a run goes for 1 or 2 yards, and if you're frustrated on 2nd and 8 when the run goes for, you know, 1 or 2 yards or negative yards, just know it shouldn't be. Logically, theoretically, this run game should be able to get going this week. If it doesn't, well, Carolina's going to maybe be able to stick in this thing better than we thought. And then on the flip side, Green Bay's run defense, maybe a little bit leakier this past week against Pittsburgh, but it's still been really good on the season. Carolina's run offense, though, has been fantastic as of late. They've done a really nice job with their two-headed monster with Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard at their running back spot. And you know they're going to want to lean on the run game more than their passing game with Bryce Young. So this has the feeling of a bad run offense versus a bad run defense, and a good run offense versus a good run defense. And which one, maybe it's just a break even on all sides of it. We'll see. But which one can be more efficient and get their run game going? Huge advantage in this one, in my opinion. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. Now, the weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. So it's time to start getting ready for Week 9. Back in Green Bay as Carolina is set to come to town. This should be a huge opportunity for Green Bay, and I'm expecting an epic performance from both Jordan Love and the ever-steady Romeo Doubs. Elsewhere in Week 9, I'm going with big games from Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, and Travis Etienne. Now, here's the best part. Prize Picks is super simple. Just pick more or less on at least 2 player stats. If you get your picks right, you could cash in. And even better, how you play is completely up to you. If you want flexibility, choose Flex Play, where you can get paid even if one of your picks misses. And if you want the biggest payouts, go for the power play. No matter which play you make, Prize Picks is a great way to put your takes to the test. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks, it's good to be right. Anybody else feeling the financial squeeze right now? Everything just feels a little bit tougher, and I, for one, don't have the time to constantly monitor my finances and see where every little dollar and cent is being allocated. Thankfully, Chime understands that every dollar counts. That's why when you set up direct deposit through Chime, you can get access to fee-free features like free overdraft coverage, getting paid up to 2 days early, and so much more. I highly encourage that you take the time to learn more over at chime.com/packaday. Not only do we use Chime as a family, but I know multiple friends who use Chime and swear by it as well. The early payments, the free overdraft coverage, and access to over 47,000 free ATMs have not only been beneficial, but have come in huge in some really difficult situations. I didn't even mention the ability to get daily balance updates and real-time transaction alerts, which have helped shape our spending habits. So work on your financial goals through Chime today. Open an account in 2 minutes at chime.com/packaday. That's chime.com/packaday. Chime. Feels like progress.
Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Timing depends on submission of payment file. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. Bank ranking and number of ATMs according to U.S. News and World Report 2023. Chime checking account required.
Speaking of which, one of those big players, maybe the biggest player that you want to keep an eye on in this game for Carolina is Derrick Brown. Derrick Brown's a stud of a defensive lineman. And these are the exact type of defensive linemen like Cam Hayward a week ago, like Calais Campbell the week before that. These big physical defensive tackles who can move people on the inside. First of all, Green Bay has not moved those type of players at all in the running game. And number two, it's the opposite. Those defensive tackles are getting penetration and push in the pocket and in the run game to make things extremely difficult. Aaron Banks, Elton Jenkins, who's ever playing at right guard, whether it be Jordan Morgan or Sean Ryan, are going to have to be up to the task this week. He's kind of the 1A. If I'm Green Bay, the chalkboard this week, Derrick Brown is literally the guy on the list. That cannot be the guy that beats us consistently. We've got to figure out something to not let him wreck this game. If Derrick Brown doesn't, I don't really trust anyone else on Carolina to be able to. Maybe one other player on offense we'll talk about, but Green Bay's got to have a plan for him and make sure that they are getting some movement on him, or at least he's not getting that movement in the backfield to cause immediate chaos for Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, and the rest of the Packers running backs. Number five on the flip side, the Packers pass rush versus that extremely, extremely beat up offensive line of the Carolina Panthers. This has advantage Green Bay written all over it. This could be, if Carolina has to drop back and pass a lot, this could be one of those 6+ sack performances for Green Bay. They don't have the bodies to match up against everyone for Green Bay up front. It would be nice to have LVN in this game, but you've got Devontae Wyatt a week further back from injury. Carl Brooks has had a lot of pressure so far this year. We've seen what Colby Wooden can do. And of course, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, and Kingsley Nagbare playing some really good football as well. This is just advantage Green Bay. If Carolina can't get that run game going and has to go to the passing attack or try to catch up and play from behind, Green Bay's pass rush should absolutely eat in this game. I just don't, like, Carolina's going to have to keep extra people in. It's going to allow the coverage to be able to have multiple people on just about everyone that Carolina's got going out on routes, which is going to force Bryce Young to hold the ball longer, which is going to allow those defensive linemen more time to get there. It could spiral very, very quickly for Carolina if it gets to that point. But Packers defensive line has to come through and actually win those matchups like they should and make that big time impact. I think they will, but definitely a key to this game. The next one is the good old triple T for Bryce Young. Time to throw. Bryce Young snappy, getting the ball out of his hands and, you know, finding his receivers quick. Well, that's what gives Green Bay trouble. If he's holding onto the ball and trying to buy time and you know, circle around and make plays, that's advantage Green Bay. We just talked about it. Carolina's line can't hold up against it. So Bryce is going to have to be really good, really accurate, get the ball out of his hands quickly. If he does, they'll have a chance. If he doesn't, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, and friends are going to be extremely happy, and they should be able to get to the quarterback quite a bit in this game. Number seven is you have two pretty bad special teams units, at least grade-wise so far this season. And if there is an advantage to be had here by either one, again, if Carolina is looking for little incremental advantages to try to get in this one, special teams is a good way to do so. As Justice talked about earlier this week, they are very good at the dirty ball kick, which Green Bay has struggled with immensely. Even just normal kicks they've struggled with immensely, which could make Green Bay have to take it from the 20-yard line a lot. That's going to be one to kind of keep an eye on. We don't want to see Green Bay having to start at the 20. We want those kicks returned. We want to see them out to the 30, 35-plus yard line. And again, Carolina's been really good at pinning teams back further with that. That's one advantage that they probably have in this game. But overall, the rest of their coverage units and return units have not been great either for Carolina. So this should be kind of a break even. But again, you can't have those catastrophic mistakes on special teams for Green Bay. Number eight, we need to see better play from the Packers corners. Carrington Valentine played better a week ago. Is Keyshawn just the unquestioned starter? Does Nate Hobbs get time this week? Is there a bit of a rotation between all three of them? Is it, you know, you go with the hot hand? How do they handle corner first and foremost? And then second, you know, Tetteroa McMillan, which we'll talk about in just a moment, is a big key to, you know, kind of keep an eye on. And then they don't have a ton out, you know, after that you're super worried about. This can't be a no-name receiver that just beats you all throughout the day. These corners have to be up to the challenge in this one. You've got one rookie receiver that you kind of have to keep a little bit of an extra eye on, and then just do your job. Do your job. I thought it was really good at the beginning of the season. Those first few weeks looked promising from the corners. The last more than handful have not at all. Or I guess the last four, right? So last four have not looked good. Which version do we get? If we get bad corner play from Green Bay, all right, game on. If the corners can actually step up and make some plays and be sticky in coverage, I just don't know how Carolina wins in this one. So it's a huge one. And then we'll go right to it. Number nine, Teterol McMillan. We talked about Derek Brown on the defensive side. Teterol McMillan is the weapon on offense. He looks really good. Some Mike Evans type play from Teterol McMillan. Some early Mike Evans. I'm not saying he's going to get to that high level. We'll see. The long way to go for him to get to that level, but that's kind of the receiver he still reminds me of. I know some people will say Drake London as well. But I kind of see a little bit of Mike Evans there. He's been fantastic. He's the type of receiver that's given Green Bay's corners a lot of trouble. And if Derek Brown is the 1A on defense, Teterol McMillan is the 1A on offense. I'd like to see Carrington Valentine matched up on him mostly, if I'm being honest. But listen, McMillan is also physical after the catch, and Valentine sort of struggles with that as well. So they're going to have to find the right matchups at the right time to put on McMillan and make sure that he doesn't have one of these 122 touchdown type performances to try to keep Carolina in this one. Number 10, we talked about, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it here, but Quay Walker in the inside linebacker, just the linebacker group. Does Quay play? If he does, how good is he? Does he look healthy? Does he look fine? Or does he not look quite himself? Or if he doesn't play, how can Hopper and McDuffie kind of fill in? We talked about that in our injury report, but just to kind of reemphasize, I do think the linebacker play can be very important for Green Bay in this one. Number 11, Matthew Golden. Would love to see him just get a little bit more of a... Now, ultimately, I don't care. I don't care if it's Golden or Watson or Dobbs or Malik Heath, John Fitzpatrick, Emmanuel Wilson, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave. I don't care. I don't care who it is, but it does feel like there is a lot of opportunity there for Matthew Golden. He's playing a lot of snaps. I thought he got open pretty consistently last week, and Jordan just didn't find him on those plays where he got open. So can this be the week that they connect a little bit more and maybe make some of those big plays? I think he's going to be in for a big game. I think Jordan's going to get him a little bit more involved, but would love to see Matthew Golden have that very effective performance if given the opportunity this week. Number 12, kind of bookmarking this. Bookending this. Number one, we talked about don't play down to your opponent. Number 12, all gas, no break. Can we get back to that? If Green Bay is up, 13, 14 points in the second half, can we keep it going? Can we not just like, all right, run, or whatever the case may, can we keep the pressure on, keep the intensity going? I talked about it a couple of times this week. If Green Bay does in fact win by like 4 points in this game, not apologizing for it. I'm not going to be, they got a win in the NFL. That's awesome. Cool. They picked up another win. At some point, you want to see Green Bay boat race an opponent and erase a team that's just not as good as them. It doesn't have to be this week. It can be a different game or maybe a couple games. If it's against Philly, that'd be even better, right? But at some point, you just want to see them take a team and say, we're just better than you, and we're going to show you for four quarters. The best teams, the Super Bowl winning teams, do that a couple times at least during the course of the year. It shows proof of how dominant they can be. Again, it doesn't have to be this week. I'm not going to apologize if they win by four or two or even one. But at some point, I'd like to see dominance from Green Bay. This has the feel of a game that they can dominate. I want to see it. All gas, no break. Let's get back to that. And let's see an impressive, impressive win against the Carolina Panthers. Line in this, just recapping it really quick. Don't play down to your opponent. How do the Panthers bounce back from a big loss? Which run game gets going better? Can Derek Brown be a disruptor up front, or like the opposite side? Can Green Bay shut him down? Packers pass rush versus the Carolina beat up offensive line. Bryce Young's time to throw. Special teams, Packers corners. Teterol McMillan being, public enemy number one for the Panthers offense. Quay Walker in the inside linebacker group, and how do they play, especially if Quay is out in this one? Can Matthew Golden have that breakout performance? And then can you have that all gas, no break mentality? Packers favored by 13.5 in this one. I'm going Packers 31, Panthers 19. Packers win by 12, don't quite cover, but an impressive performance. And what I will add on top of this, I think both teams score five times. Both teams score five times. Panthers settle for four field goals and one touchdown. Packers get four touchdowns and one field goal. And that is ultimately your 12-point difference. Feels good for Green Bay to get over 30. Feels good for Green Bay's defense to hold Carolina under 20. Probably don't love the five scores. Maybe, you know, taking a few opportunities out of Green Bay's hands, but I think they'll get a couple turnovers as well. And again, ultimately win 31-19 in this game. Some other games to watch on Sunday, Bears-Bengals and Vikings-Lions are both at noon, same time as Green Bay. So all four NFC North teams are going at noon. We'll know by the 3:30 window how the NFC North did this week. I'm expecting the Vikings to lose to the Lions pretty easily. Bears-Bengals is a little bit more interesting and should maybe just, you know, kind of keep a little extra eye on the score bug in the top right corner to see how Chicago's doing in that one. The big one, 3:30 p.m. or right around there. Chiefs at Bills. That's one of the biggest games of the year, so enjoy the heck out of that one. And then Seahawks at Commanders, Sunday Night Football. Should be a pretty good game. Commanders are going to be wanting to get back in the thick of things, while the Seahawks are going to want to stay in that NFC West race. I will be live pre- and post-game show. Pre-game will be a little bit early, around 10 a.m. to about 10:45, so I can still get to the game on time. And then it will take me some time to get back. So about, I have it set for 4:30, might be 4:45, 5 at the very latest, but just know it's not going to be immediately following the game, but I will be doing live pre- and post-game shows for this one. Hope to see you guys there. Looking forward to this game. Should be a big Packers win. Hopefully they take care of business. All gas, no break. I'm excited for it. Again, Packers 31, Panthers 19. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members. PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Aiden Radomski, Devin Lane, Ganzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, and Les Nienau. Enjoy game day, everyone. And until next time, and as always, and especially on game day, go Pack Go.